Your Bibles with you, please open them with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. A couple years ago, I was an assistant track coach and I got to run with the kids. And one of the kids I ran with was, I would guess, a 16-year-old girl. And when you run with kids, you get to kind of interact with them and get to know them on a much deeper level than you normally would. And so I got to see her and her brother interact, and her brother was really throwing insults in her face, like, you're a mistake, you're the reason our lives are miserable, you're this, you're that. And like, really, I could see it was really cutting at this girl. And I pushed a little deeper and found out that this girl had all her life been told by her mom that she wasn't planned, and she was the only reason her and her dad got married. And her mom blamed her for her miserable marriage and her miserable place in life in front of the siblings, and so the siblings took that and would throw it in her face again and again and again and again and again. If you are sitting across from this girl, or if you're running beside this girl, how would you offer her courage? What would you say to her that would be of help to her about God? I want to talk to you today about courage. I want to talk to you about three reasons we can take courage in God. So when we come back here, we're going to talk about what would you say to this girl? And so just kind of keep that in your mind. But we'll also talk about courage when you feel like mountains of bad stuff keeps happening to you, and you feel like either A, there's not a God, or B, God hates me. But I can't imagine there's a good God that likes me because of the mountains of bad stuff that keep happening. We'll talk about taking courage when mountains of bad stuff keep happening. And we'll also talk about taking courage when you are just tired, or when you're afraid. We'll talk about taking courage when you've been struggling and struggling and struggling with this past sin or this area of obedience that you can't seem to get right, and you've been struggling with it and struggling, I can't do this. Or when your vocation changes, or getting ready for a school year and you're really nervous about the school year starting. And so they're just big changes that you're afraid of. Well, we'll talk about when your family is messed up. And you're trying, you know, you married into this family, and now you're trying to raise other people's kids, and you don't feel like you can do it. How do you take courage then, when you're tired and afraid, and you don't think you can do it? Three reasons to take courage in God from Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning here in verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, so when we read this, I want you to be thinking what this must mean for Jeremiah, as Jeremiah is given an impossible task. He's got to go and deliver very, very bad news to people that don't want to hear it, that aren't going to like it. This is what God says to him, and these are truths that Jeremiah will anchor his soul to again and again and again and again and again as he tells people bad news that they don't want to hear, and they hate him for it, and they persecute him for it. This is a truth Jeremiah anchors his soul to. This is a truth I'm telling you need to anchor your soul to. Before I formed you in the womb, who formed Jeremiah in the womb? God. Was Jeremiah a mistake? No. God formed Jeremiah in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb. Something happened before God formed him in the womb. You know what happened before God formed him in the womb? He knew him. And before you were born, I consecrated you. That means I set you apart. I picked you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah, it's not that I'm giving you a job. It's that I'm giving you to a job. I'm giving you to a purpose. This is something that I'm big that I'm giving you to do, Jeremiah. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. We find out earlier in chapter 1 that he's a priest from Anath. Okay, so he's a young guy from Anath, and God is telling you, I'm going to appoint you a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah's like, I can't do that. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. And do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand to touch my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Jeremiah, it's not about how young you are, or about how irrelevant Anath is, or about how little credibility maybe the priests have. It's that you're going to say what I tell you to say, and you're going to go talk to the people that I tell you to go talk to. God is telling him it's about my competency, not yours. Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day, little young priest from Anath, over nations and over kingdoms. Now watch this. This is really important. To pluck up, okay, matches to plant. Those are both agricultural terms. And to break down matches and to build. So what you would expect is to destroy and to create, or to destroy and to make, or to destroy and to, I mean, you can think of your building anti-destructive word. But Jeremiah's big message, the really big idea, the overwhelming message he has is bad news. Is plucking up, is tearing down, is destroying and overthrowing. This will not be a fun assignment that Jeremiah gets. But God has called Jeremiah to this. And this is what Jeremiah will have to anchor his soul to. That God formed him for this. Because Jeremiah is not like the Apostle Paul. You know, when I think of the Apostle Paul, I think of someone who kind of likes getting this close to people, you know, so that your noses are touching and you can feel spit from them. And you just feel like the Apostle Paul is this really intense guy that kind of enjoys confrontation. Jeremiah is not like that at all. Jeremiah hates this. Jeremiah is in the pit of despair quite often. I mean, he doesn't like this at all. And he could really easily think, I'm a mistake, like I'm not made for this. But God starts out telling him, I formed you for this. I know you. I picked you. Here's what I'd want to say to that girl. I'd want to say, God knew you before your parents picked your name. God knew your name before your parents picked your name. God knew you before your grandparents were born. God planned you, God picked you, God knows you. And God appointed you to a purpose. God gave you meaning. This is what God says to Jeremiah, I consecrated you, I appointed you. Now, God appointed Jeremiah to something different than he's appointed you to, than he's appointed me to. But God knows you just like he knew Jeremiah, and God knows me just like he knew Jeremiah, and God appointed you to something, and just like he appointed Jeremiah to something. He knows you. And he knows the path he has for you. Rick Warren writes that there are illegitimate parents. But there are not illegitimate children. God knows you. God formed you. God appointed, consecrated you. And he knows the path he has for you. I can't tell you how comforting and at the same time troubling this was when Justice died. But I knew this is not outside God's will. That God isn't surprised by this. That's comforting. It's also troubling. What is God doing? God knows you, and He knows the path He has for you. Now let's talk about pain. Because there's pain coming, and this is a verse I was going to put up here about how God, this is true for us too, that in Ephesians 1 we said, even as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. So this is a resounding theme throughout the Scriptures. But let's talk about pain now as we keep going in Jeremiah 1. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? All right, so remember we started out talking about when really bad stuff happens to us, we wonder if God hates us. Like, if there is a God, He must hate me. And I said, I see there's a Hebrew word there for almond branch. Now, if you are looking at your Bibles and you have them open, you probably see a footnote in your Bible. At least I have one in mine. And it says, almond sounds just like the Hebrew word for watching. Compare verse 12. So we are in verse 11. Let's go to verse 12 and look at the word for watching. So I left the Hebrew word for almond up here. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am, what's that next word? Watching, for I'm watching. So here's the Hebrew word for watching. Here's the Hebrew word for almond. So you can see almond sounds just like the Hebrew word for watching. You can see how that's true, right? So why would God do that? What's God doing? So almond sounds like watching. Okay. Well, Anath is an almond growing central. It's a place where there are a bunch of almond trees. And so Jeremiah would see a lot of almond trees and be familiar with that imagery. Now, why does he say this? He's going to tell us why this is important. I'm watching over my word to perform it. So just like a watched tree never blooms, Jeremiah is going to feel like I'm prophesying destruction and destruction keeps not happening. I'm prophesying all this stuff and none of it ever happens. What's going on? God is making me look like a traitorous idiot because I keep saying stuff and it keeps not coming true. So here's where we are. David comes to the throne about 1000 BC, roughly 1000 BC. The northern kingdom goes into exile roughly 722 BC. The southern kingdom will go into exile 587 BC. Jeremiah starts prophesying here in 627 BC. What this means is that for a very long time, things have been going great. And also, you should know, that they can't see the future. They don't know this is going to happen. So all they're thinking is about is for the last hundreds of years, everything has been fine. And we saw the northern kingdom go into exile, but because we're better than them and God is on our side, that can't happen to us. After all, we've got the temple. That would never happen to us. So Jeremiah will look like a blithering idiot, you know, a pessimistic, treasonous moron for 40 years. 40 years. This is why God has to start with, I formed you for this. I picked you for this. I consecrated you for this. I appointed you to this. Because Jeremiah doesn't want to sound like a treasonous, pessimistic, the sky is falling kind of guy. And for four decades, he'll say bad things are about to happen and no one will believe him. The word of the Lord came to me a second time. I just think this is grace, that the word of the Lord keeps coming to him. This is not a one-time deal, but this is a several times deal, that God keeps affirming this call in his life. The word of the Lord came to me a second time saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. So if we have a big pot up here and it's on a fire and it starts to tip because the fire shifts and it's facing away from the north, it's tilting away from the north, what direction is it going to go? south. It's going to go south. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north, disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. Now, we don't know it yet, but we will find out later in the book that this, in fact, is the Babylonians coming. So you have the Arabian desert here, you have Judah here, Jerusalem is here. Over here is the capital of Babylon. They go along the Euphrates River, come up here and sweep down and conquer even to the south. Egypt will be nervous, but they won't conquer Egypt. And so they will take Jerusalem captive. And God is saying this will happen. Now, it's not going to happen, remember, for another 40 years, but it will happen. For behold, I am calling all the tribes of the north. Who's in charge? God's in charge. Who's calling the Babylonians down from the north? That's a hard message. That's a hard message. You know, I mean, the Babylonians are not going to obey the rules of warfare and protect civilians when they come raging down from the north. I mean, you got to know, when the Babylonians come raging down, storming down from the north and take your city, the walls of your city are coming down, the temple is getting burned, your wife is going to get killed, your daughter is going to be raped, and your sons are going into captivity. I mean, it's really going to be bad. This is really, really, really bad news that no one wants to hear. And Jeremiah is saying, God is in charge of this. For behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord. And they shall come, and every one shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against the walls and around, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will declare my judgments against them for all their evil in forsaking me. Why is this going to happen? Why am I calling all these, you know, the demon hordes from the north? Why are they coming? Because you've forsaken me, and you've forsaken me, and you've forsaken me, and you've forsaken me. And they have made offerings to other gods and worshiped the works of their hands. They've forsaken me, and forsaken me, and forsaken me, and forsaken me, and disobeyed me, and disobeyed me. And I've sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet, and they've ignored them, and ignored them, and ignored them, and ignored them. And finally, Jeremiah's message is, that's enough. So God disciplines. Some of you have strong-willed children. And the temptation with strong-willed children is to just kind of let them have their way because they're so strong-willed, and it costs so much to discipline them. It costs you personally so much to discipline them because they are so strong. But you know, as parents, if you have a strong-willed child, you have to be stronger-willed. Let me tell you something. God is stronger willed. And if it means the walls have to come down, and if it means the temple has to be burned, and if it means his people have to go captive to Babylon, then that's what it means. But he will have a relationship with his people. He will love them back. His love is a severe love that doesn't just overlook, just doesn't ignore wrongs, but it disciplines those he loves. And the goal, of course, is not destruction. The goal of plucking up is to plant. The goal of tearing down is to build. And so he will bring his people back. He'll bring his people home because God disciplines to restore. And so when you look at your life and you say, God, with these mountains of pain, God must hate me. Another way to look at that is, God loves you so much, he's allowing this pain in your life for one reason or another. And he wants to use it to pull you closer to himself. He wants to use this crisis or use this pain or use this stress or fear, anxiety, heart, I don't know. He wants to use it to pull you closer to Him. His love is severe. When you're suffering, remember that He loves you. Remember that He suffered for you. Remember that He is the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He understands. He's wept too. So first, we said, take courage because God knew your name before your grandparents were born, because God knew the path He had for you before your great, great, great grandparents were born. We said, take courage because God formed you. He picked you. He knows you. We said, take courage because God isn't disciplining because He hates you. He's disciplining to restore you to Himself. He's allowing pain into your life to bring you back or bring you closer to Him. Third, but you, dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. How many times has God said that now to Jeremiah? A bunch. You know why? I think you know why. Because Jeremiah doesn't want to say everything God says to him. Because it's really hard stuff that nobody wants to hear. God might be calling you to say something that people don't want to hear. And you might be tempted, you might be tempted, I know because I've been there, you might be tempted to tell them, like if God's calling you to tell them all the way to 10, you might be tempted to tell them all the way to 7.5. You might be tempted to tell them all the way to 9. Because you don't want to invoke their wrath. Who wants to invoke their wrath? You don't want to tick them off that much, or you don't want to hurt them that much, or you don't want to this, or you don't want to that. Well, there's times when you don't have to say stuff, but if God is calling you to say something, say it all the way to 10. But you, dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls. Now, Jeremiah is a little afraid, timid, sensitive priest from Anath. And God is telling him, because if you just look deep inside yourself, you'll be a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall. Is that right? No. God's saying, I make you. Where does the strength come from? It comes from God. God is saying, I am making you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls. Now, here's what's going to happen. Against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. It's just about everybody. Nobody is going to like your message, Jeremiah. Nobody. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares the Lord. After all, He said, I'm going to make you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls. I am with you. I will make you strong, though they fight against you. I'm with you. And you should hear scary music playing before we read this last part. I'm with you to deliver you. Because Jeremiah will need to be delivered more than once. From himself, from his own discouragement, and from them, the priests, the false prophets, the kings, the people of the land. He's going to need to be delivered. But God is promising to strengthen Jeremiah for the work that he has called Jeremiah to do. Just like God has promised to strengthen us in our weakness, to come and meet us with his strength when we are not strong enough to go on. When we feel completely, utterly, terribly overwhelmed, it is then that we run to God and then that we see him showcasing his strength in us. So when you feel like you can't obey because sin is bigger than you and stronger than you, you run to God and ask for strength, believing him that he will give you strength. When you feel like you're afraid because of the monumental task he's set before you, remember with Jeremiah, it's not that he was given a job, but that he was given to a job. Like when you feel like God has given you something so much bigger than you vocationally or academically, run to God for strength. And if God has called you to it, he will help you through it. When you feel like your family situation is bigger than you and harder than you and just feels completely out of control, remember that God will help you through this. Take courage because God strengthens you for his work. Take courage because God's discipline is discipline to restore. It's restorative discipline. Take courage because God has planned you and planned your path. So three words. The first word is plan. Now, I don't know if I've convinced all of you that God has planned you, that you're not a mistake. I don't know if I've convinced you of that or not. But I want to take one more shot at it. And I want to take a shot at it from the other side of the exile, after Babylon has come in and laid waste to Jerusalem. Isaiah actually is writing about this. And Isaiah's writing about this and he's, you know, kind of putting himself in their place. And they're saying, God has forsaken us. And it probably feels like that as Babylon has come in and laid waste to their city and just left it. You know, if you've seen pictures of like a bombed out Berlin after World War II, and you just see the buildings and rubble in the streets and just this giant, terrible mess. And this is how it feels in Jerusalem. They're saying God has forsaken us. And God responds to them by saying, if, you know, can a nursing mom forget the baby at her breast? Could a nursing mom forget the child that she's holding? And he says, well, maybe she could. Even these may forget. But they will forget their babies before I forget you. And he goes on and says, behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Like, I have taken a sharp knife and I have cut your name on my hand. I will not forget you. Your names are graven on my hands. I can't help but think of Christ on the cross and think of the nails that pierce his, man, were those like underlining your name? I will not forget. I know you. I will not forget you. I know things are bad right now. I know the city is broken right now, but I will not forget you. And I won't forget what's happened to you. He says, your walls are continually before me. I know, and I hate it too. But his discipline is a discipline to restore. I want you to walk away knowing that God planned you and knows the path he has for you. I want you too to think about the big picture of the book. So the big picture of the book is about turning to God. And so Jeremiah is here pleading with people to turn to God, saying bad things are going to happen if we don't turn to God. Really, really, really bad things are going to happen if we don't turn to God. And Jeremiah is ignored and ignored and ignored and ignored. And what you and I would, it's easy for us to do is to say, man, if I was there, I would obey. If I was there, I would repent. If I was there, I would have turned from my wicked ways and turned back to God. But you know, change is hard. And I bet you have changes that you think you should make, but you're not making because change is so difficult. And you get momentum going in the wrong direction for a long time, and it is really, really difficult, personally costly, to make those changes. And the longer that momentum goes, the harder it is to make those changes. Okay. So I just want you to let this sink in. The reason we don't change is because change is so hard. Well, let me ask you. You know, if we said that to them, we said that to these guys right here, we said the reason they said to us, we're not changing is change is so hard. We could say, well, what will happen if you don't change? And I think that's a question you and I should ask. Well, what would happen if I don't change? Do I like those results better? The big picture of Jeremiah is pleading with people to repent. Please, come to Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and the newness of life. The pain you're experiencing might be part of God's plan to pull you back to Himself, to restore you to Himself. He said, take courage. You're part of God's plan. Take courage. The discipline is not because He hates you. It's because He loves you. So please turn to Him. And third, just know, walk away from here knowing that if God has called you to something, that God will walk you through it. If God has called you to something, God will give you strength to do it. Take courage. God gives strength. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time we could spend in Your Word. Lord, and I ask You to help us obey You. Help us love You. Help us look to You. Lord, give us courage when we're tired. Give us courage when we're discouraged and when we're afraid, because we're anchoring our souls in You. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.